You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And as always on a Wednesday, I speak to Scott Lowe, Portfolio Manager at PSG Wealth Old Oak in Cape Town. A very cold Cape Town, I understand, Skulk.
That's an understatement. No, I mean, it's freezing cold. And the most disappointing, you know, part is you speak to your counterpart, your friends and families in other parts of South Africa, more specifically, you know, the Gauteng region, Limpopo, KZN, and they're walking around with T-shirts. They're saying it's like 30-odd degrees. Feels like spring already in the latter part of August. Yeah, no, we've got snow on Table Mountain. That maybe just describes it all.
That's amazing. But just before we get off the meteorological theme, isn't it nice? Don't you find it nice to have a freezing cold evening and you can have a glass of red wine? Not that you need an excuse to have a glass of red wine, but it's always, for some people do, not me. And just snuggle up around a fire or a heater or something, whatever it is, I find it quite cozy. It's not nice to have constant a temperate climate. I like a good freeze.
Yeah, South Africans love to moan about stuff. I would just like to moan about, you know, being hot again just for a day or two. No, I totally agree with you. I love all facets of the Cape Town weather. I know I'm a typical Cape Townian boy. He grew up here and still staying here. So it is literally I think when the Dutch arrived there, they first called it Little Holland or something like that, if I'm not mistaken. Klein Nederland, small Netherlands. And I think it's for that reason, because you've got these four seasons in one day. Winter's just constantly raining, and you know, summers are nice and hot, which I don't think you've had this year, did you?
Well, it's 28, 29 degrees at the moment, but this is the last day of summer now. It's all over. The temperature starts falling according to my Norwegian weather app, which is incredibly accurate. And yeah, so I'm going to make the most of this, but this is the end of summer. And talking about the Netherlands, I occasionally drive around Skulk or get driven around, and I see Bidcorp vans whizzing around everywhere. Mm. And they came out with a set of results. We're waiting for NVIDIA's, but let's focus on Bidcorp. Nice set of numbers. And despite a backdrop, as they say, of, let's have a look, turbulent and challenging world beset with anemic, stagnant, and sometimes negative economic growth. And yet they increased their revenue to 226 billion, up over 15%. What a performance.
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, I've often had this conversation, you know, either we'll talk about Nuclix or Capitec, and then I always refer to these companies, the ones that got away. Now, I'm sitting here, I'm feeling sour. I mean, I feel really, really disappointed because of these companies that I just always want to include in my portfolio. It's just most of the time it's just a little bit on the expensive side. So, you mentioned it today. I mean, the revenue looking really, really good, 15% higher. When we look at the headline earnings per share, you know, 24 Rand, also up 15.5%. I think most important thing, it's a beat when you compare it to the Refinitiv consensus estimate. So that was good. Also the dividend, we're looking at a 10 Rand 90 dividend, which is up 16%. Refinitiv had them at a 10 Rand 75. So beat, maybe on the revenue, a little bit softish, but it's just, as I read through the statement, I just felt good. I mean, this is a company and CEO Bernard Berson, he actually mentioned in the report that the results were almost 100% organic growth. Now that's fantastic. It just means that there is very little acquisitional growth. This is a company that just manage their expenses, and they actually just open new doors where they could do so. They mentioned in the report the challenging environment, as you just referred to, the softening food inflation and the higher core inflation. That's usually for food companies like Bidcorp. It's a very, very challenging, you know, environment. And they managed to steer this company well clear of this challenging environment. I would say great results. And now, as we're standing, the company is currently valued just shy of a 16 times PE ratio. So not that expensive anymore. There's a few companies that might be a little bit more, you know, could be seen as cheaper, but definitely a company that's on my radar. And then sort of the cherry on the cake, shareholders were extremely well rewarded today, you know, 4.54% up for today, close the day at 440 rand.
Very good. Just for people that are still getting their head around the fact that there's a Bidvest and a Bidcorp, and they were one at one time, just where does Bidcorp make its money? Where's its real driver?
Yeah, it's a food business. I mean, we sort of looked at them, food delivery. I mean, in South Africa, I often see them with these little food trucks delivering food to restaurants, you know, takeaway companies and those type of companies. So they remember, and you actually mentioned where they come from. They came from Bidvest. Back in the days, Bidvest, their logistics, you know, delivering stuff. They did so well with the food side, food delivering side, that this became a, you know, very, very, you know, solid company on its own.
Yeah, so food delivery is, which is big business. Skunk, we've come more or less to the end of the June year-end company's results as you go into summer. And it's been okay. Standard Bank was quite good, I think.
Yeah, I think banks in general, you know, came out very, very solid. But I think August will be known for the massive. And when I say massive, I want to put this in capital letters. Massive month for local property stocks. We had, I don't know if in front of me, I don't know, the next day or two, but and this morning we asked our head of the dealing desk, where did they see the flows? And he said, well, flows were predominantly SA property stocks. Well, which ones? He says, well, all of them.
Really?
Literally all of them.
Is that an interest rate play, is it? Is that an anticipatory a play with price of money coming down, which is always good for property?
That is the case. I mean, he mentioned it, it's pretty much the locals buying local property stocks. But I went and look at I also do these, let's call it the themes or asset class movements. And up to end of July, when you looked, and I don't elaborate too deeply. I mean, I used developed market equities, emerging market equities. I'll use U.S. growth, small caps, you know, global bonds. But the sector that's been under massive amount of pressure, not only last year, but also up to July this year, was global property. Property stock, retail, or REITs. This month, that thing has popped up from year to date being either last or second last, and now finding itself in something like fifth position. So there's definitely a migration from equities, bonds to property stocks globally. But South African property stocks, it's sort of special because, you know, you and I have had this conversation, where when you look at the prices relative to its net asset values, this is the deepest that I've seen those valuations, you know, since 2003. And that was sort of also a very special time because that's where we've seen a massive turn in local properties as well. Also, one thing that I love, you know, looking and monitoring is Stats SA. They bring out on a monthly basis, they bring out the buildings completed.
Yes.
For that month. And I look at specifically non-residential properties, and I usually just combine it over a year period. Now, when you look at that data, this is the lowest amount of properties that's been completed over the past 12 months, you know, since that 2002, 2003 period. Now, you would ask me, well, what? That's actually bad. That's negative. Yes, it's negative because everybody sort of had a negative outlook on SA property. First, we had COVID because everybody is going to work from home. They're never going to go back to the shopping centers, never going to go back to the offices, never going back to the banks again. And now they had it wrong. Everybody is going back to the offices. They're going back to shopping centers.
So demand has reemerged after COVID and lockdowns. Yep. And supply, it has virtually stagnated, according to Stats SA and according to you. So you got a perfect storm for a bull run.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And then just adding to that mix, which you just mentioned, we're at the end of a hiking cycle and about to enter the declining cycle. I mean, then if you add those two together, you get a beautiful, beautiful environment for undervalued property stocks, which clearly, you know, some investors are currently taking advantage of.
The hottest property overseas, of course, is Nvidia, and they come out with results after the US close. I don't know if you're involved in it. I don't know if you own it. But even if you don't own it, you will be watching those results because according to the options market, in a little piece that I read from Bloomberg the other hour, it was saying that options are saying it might be 10% up or 10% down given the positioning of the options investors or traders. So it should be fun in the aftermarket, Skull.
Yeah. I mean, that's putting it mildly, Lindsay. Yeah. I mean, what Lindsay is basically telling us, I also read somewhere, I think this is the biggest spread. This is the largest long positions and short positions at exactly the same time.
Wow.
In any company. Wow. I mean, so effectively, you've got massive bulls and massive bears. And I think the perfect scenario would most probably be that Nvidia come out bang on target. They don't miss target. They don't miss consensus. They come out exactly. And I think that might be the sort of the best case scenario for this. Because like you said, if they miss, I agree with you. I think we're going to see this company have a hefty fall. And if they beat, I wouldn't be surprised if it runs, like you said, you know, anything between, you know, 4 and 10%. Also the consensus. One of my analysts, I want to take his thunder. Keenan came to me. Oh, no, it was Jared. He came to me the day and he said, Skulk, this is also, I mean, he always look at not only the consensus, but he'll look at the difference in consensus, the lower band and the upper band. And he says, it is crazy when you look at this company. As we sit here, let's call it pre-market close, more or less, let's just say Nvidia more is trading at $126. That's where it's currently trading. When you look at the upper band, the analysts are forecasting that this company could be trading at, let's call it $205 per share. And on the lower side, there's some that actually feel it could be trading, you know, about $60 to $70.
Oh, no. Come on now. Well, it's going to halve, in other words.
Well, you know, I'm not going to diss that person's you know, recommendation because, I mean, any person that said that Cisco will be halving in 2000. You know, you would have had most probably the same replies. and it did. It didn't only fall 50%. It fell 76% in the next 2 years. So anyway, what goes up can go down. So let's see. I think it's going to be an interesting day.
It certainly will be. And you've got the high pressure, which is the bullish stance, and the low pressure, which is the bearish stance, in the form of options and futures and every other derivative you can conjure up. And the two come together. Big storm. Big storm. Now then, Skull.
We're going to wait for that. Yeah. We're going to have to wait for that. We're going to have to wait for it. That's going to be good.
Are you involved in it, though? Just
No. Okay. No. I don't have an Nvidia, so it's easy to sit on the sideline and watch it like a
tennis. And have some fun, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay, let's have a look at some market prices now. The dollar rand, it's more or less unchanged, slightly stronger for the dollar. 17.80, that exchange rate. The British pound against the rand is 23.51 and the euro rand is 19.81. Euro dollar, 111.28. What else have we got here? Gold price, it's down $8.50 to 25.07. And platinum, down 17. These white metals worry me. 942, down 1.75%. And palladium, down 1.75% to 940. six. Okay, other commodities of importance for South Africa and for the world. Oil price, thank goodness, coming down after the Libya scare. That was brief. $78.88, which is down 0.8%. And the West Texas, $74.83, down 0.9%. Elsewhere, copper down 3.3%. That's the one that really stands out. S&P 500 futures ahead of NVIDIA, 56.49, which is just very slightly higher. The US 10-year Treasury bond yield is 3.83%. And what else have we got? The South African 10-year, 9.33%. Bitcoin price has been under huge pressure today. It's down 5.4% to $58,575, something like that. Okay, good. What else have we got, Skulk? You're going to give us, rather, the JSC closing indices, but the one that really stands out, and for all the wrong reasons, resources. I know in London they were smashed as well today, but that doesn't bode well.
No, not at all. Clear. You know, economic growth worry still very much persistent. I mean, I think what was it? Bulletin came out. Was it earlier this week?
Yes.
And the CEO 2%
rise in. I think it was a 2% rise in profit or revenue. I can't remember what the metric was, but anyway, it was pretty slack.
He gave me the idea that the supply will still outstrip the demand, specifically for something like copper this year, but they're building towards 2025, 2026, where they do see things picking up again. But as you mentioned, I mean, if it was white metal, if it was yellow metal, if it doesn't matter which metal, even if, you know, old Brent oil, the Sasol, it was under pressure. As you mentioned, you know, the resource index today dropped 2.5%. What a bad performance.
And we can find out why right now. Let's go for the gainers first on the JSC, Skulk. A Bidcorp, great performance, 4.5% up. Remgro up 1.8%. Outsurance 1.7% to the good. Aspen 1.75% up. Motus up 1.75%. Impala Platinum on the downside, leading the way, 5.5% weaker. Sibanye, the same, 5.5% in the red. Northern's 5.4. Anglo American Platinum, 4.5. And Anglo Gold Ashanti down 3.6%. A shocker of a day. Any stocks outside of those, Skulk?
Yeah, I think Anglo Gold, just remember that's exit story.
Oh, okay.
So that's sort of looking on a better side. Impala Platinum, the biggest loser for today. It seems highly, highly likely that Impala will be falling out of the South African index. So that's most probably one of the big reasons why we see Impala Platinum. It's not done and dusted yet, but as it currently stands, if things remain unchanged, they will fall out of the South African index. And I think that will be most probably the main reason why it got hurt a lot more than some of these other. And then naturally, you know, Glencore is the other one that's also ex-stiff. But be that as it may, it's been a horrible, horrible day if you had anything remotely connected to commodities.
Let's have those indices, if you would, and also the value traded.
So the JSE All Share closed today at 84,019 points. That is down 63 basis points. I mentioned the resources down 2.5%, while the industrials also down 37 basis points. The rand that remained at these, you know, solid levels, and we also said that it's sort of a return to these SA Inc. type of company, which is always good for financials. Financials closed today positive. Positive 0.16% up for today. And as earlier, you know, mentioned earlier, Asset Property, they didn't care one bit, you know, for the market retracing again up, you know, 30 basis points. When we look at the value traded for the market, market traded over 21 billion today. So not a slow day. Actually, not a bad day at all. But yeah, as we mentioned tonight, we're waiting for NVIDIA. It's unfortunately, I think it's going to be after hours. So yeah, let's see. Let's see how they play.
Skulk, good luck on Saturday with the rugby, and also wrap up warm tonight. Skulk Lowe is a portfolio manager at PSG Wealth Old Oak in Cape Town, and that was the 5 o'clock shadow. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.